Now open your hearts and minds to receive a fresh word from God delivered by our lead pastor, Eddie Swan.
Good morning. All right. Hold up your Bibles and let's jump into the word today. This is what we say every Sunday. This is the word of God. I will choose to believe it over my circumstances. I will choose to trust it whether I see the results immediately or not. This is God speaking to me today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. I want to talk to you. Now, when I say this, I don't want you to turn me off. I want you to just promise you'll listen. Will you listen? Yeah. All right. Now, I want to talk to you today about the subject of giving. So you just said you were going to listen. Now, as we dive into the subject of giving, I want to talk about giving all for God and to God. And I want us to use the subject named Abraham. And so we're going to look at the life of Abraham. I want to teach you some things today about giving. First and foremost, giving is an issue of faith. It is not an issue of funds. Many times we make giving a financial decision, not a faith decision. Giving is also not a financial decision. It's a heart condition. Giving shows the value or what we put value in. When God asked Abraham to give, what he asked him to give seemed to be in direct opposition to the promise he had just received. Now, let me remind you what happened. Abraham and Sarah, or Abram and Sarai, as they were in their 70s. Abraham was 75 years old, and God comes to him and says, Abram, I'm going to bless you and make you a father of many nations. Now, guys, imagine that today in the natural, that we're 75 years old and God comes and says, I'm going to make you a father and you've never been a father. You say, well, man, you better get to working because I'm already 75. Well, what happens in this story is 25 years pass by and no child. And I'm sure they tried a whole lot because practice makes perfect, right?
Amen.
Amen. And the guys are like, yes, amen. 25 years. I want you to understand what happens over a lot of time when you've been praying for something and you've been seeking God for something and you've waited a long time. It can almost become a little bit discouraging. Is God hearing my prayers? Does he really listen? Does he really care? Those are the things that we think, right? When we prayed for a long time. 25 years pass. Turn to Genesis chapter 21, and here's where we pick up the story. Verse 1 says, now the Lord was gracious to Sarah as he had said. You might want to underline that. It is important to always remember what God said. As he had said. And the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age. At the very time. You might want to underline that. At the very time. God promised him. Abraham gave the name Isaac to the son Sarah bore him. Let me remind you of something very important. If God said it, you can believe it. I think we need a bigger amen right there.
Amen.
Listen, it is just really a matter of timing. And it says at the very time God promised. If you are waiting for a financial miracle in your life, maybe you just haven't arrived yet at the very time. If you haven't received what you've been praying for, keep praying, keep believing, and keep trusting that at the time God says it will happen because God's not a liar. Here's what happened in Abraham's situation. Go to chapter 22, verse 1. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. And he said to him, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Then God said, take your son, your only son whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you. Early the next morning, Abraham got up, loaded his donkey. He took with him his two servants, and his son Isaac, and when he had set out, When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out to the place that God had told him about. Let me remind you that Isaac is the child of promise from God to Abraham and Sarah, the child that would be the beginning of the lineage called Israel. Giving is a test of our faith. Listen, when God asks us to give, he asks us to give as the church consistently, faithfully, and generously to his work on the earth. I want you to understand these things. Giving is the mechanism God uses to break the bondage of greed and materialism in our lives. Giving is the mechanism God uses to test the depths of our hearts and our love and loyalty to him. And giving is the mechanism God uses to bless others and to fund his work on the earth. Now, Matthew wrote in his gospel in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. Here, Matthew in chapter 6 is talking about worry and all that. And he says here in verse 24, no one can serve two masters. He will either hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. He said, you cannot serve both God and money. You can't love God and love money. You got to choose one. You can't have one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom. Jesus tells us in this passage that we will only really love one and we will hate or despise the other. That's why giving is such an important part of discipleship. Followers of Jesus should develop the heart of a giver. Why? So that the church can be rich? Absolutely not. So that you put God in the right place in your life. I want you to understand, this is not a money talk. This is a faith talk. As a follower of Jesus, we should begin to develop the habits of Jesus. Well, one of the greatest characteristics of Jesus was that he was a giver. The Bible says in John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he did what?
Gave.
Ooh, you got to say that loud.
Gave.
Yes, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. He gave the greatest gift. He gave it, and he gave it unselfishly and willingly because he loves you. Now go to verse 7, chapter 22, verse 7. As they're going along, Isaac speaks up and says to his father Abraham, yes, my son, he replied. The fire and the wood are here, Isaac said, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And in verse 8, Abraham answers him, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. Now sometimes the idea of sacrificial giving does not make sense to us because we can't see where the sacrifice is going to come from. Well, God, I have too much month, not enough money. And now you're asking me to give, and I don't even know where I'm going to get it from. Abraham could have thought, why would you ask me to give the only one I have? You told me I'm going to be a father of many nations, and here's one. And if I get rid of this one, I won't have another one because I'm already now 100 years old. The question is, why would God ask Abraham to give away the promise of the multitude? I want you to understand this, because God has much more for Abraham than just one son. Why would God ask you and I to give 10% of our funds, a tithe, to the house of the Lord? We struggle. I don't know how I'm going to do this. Because God has way more than the tenth that you're about to give.
Amen.
Remember these two things. This is important. What you keep is all you have. And what you give to God, he multiplies.
Right. That's right.
Go to verse 9, Genesis 22, verse 9. When they reached the place that God told him about, Abraham built an altar there, arranged the wood on it, bound his son Isaac, laid him on the wood, on the altar, on top of the wood, and then he reached out his hand, took the knife to slay his son. Now imagine the scene with me. They get to the place. Abraham is just going about his work. He builds an altar. He puts the stones and the wood in place. He gets it all ready. He's got the kindling there. He's got the fire ready to go. And then he tells his son, son, put your hands behind your back. Excuse me, Dad? Put your hands behind your back, son. I'm binding you. You're the sacrifice. Whoa, time out. We never see that conversation happen. He binds his son, puts him on the altar. He is ready to do what God asked him to do. But the angel of the Lord calls out to him, Abraham, Abraham, and here I am, he replies. Don't lay a hand on the boy, he said. Don't do anything to him. Now I know that you fear me because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. And Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket, he saw a ram caught by its horns. And he went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." Or the word in the Hebrew is Jehovah Jireh. We just sang that song, Jireh. Oh, yeah, that's good. I can start singing right now. Jehovah Jireh. And to this day, it is said on the mountain of the Lord. Look what it says. It will be provided. It doesn't say it might be provided. It could be provided. No, it says it will be. I want to teach you something real quick about the word Jehovah Jireh or the name Jehovah Jireh. Many people say it means the Lord will provide, which is a great, great thing to think about. But I want you to know it really is more than that. It really talks about identity, and it's talking about God's identity and God's character as the provision. You see, he is provision. And when you have Jesus, you already have Jehovah Jireh. Amen over here. Anybody else? Verse 15, the angel of the Lord called out to him, to Abraham a second time. And he said, "I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and you have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies. And through your offspring, all nations on the earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me." Abraham's devotion and adoration to God resulted in multiplication of his sacrificial giving. Isaac becomes the father of Jacob and Esau. Jacob's name is later changed to Israel. Israel would have 12 sons who would become the children or the patriarchs of the Hebrew people, the Israelites. And they would turn in from the one to the two to the 12 to millions of people around the world. That's multiplication. You see, what you keep, you have. And what you give to God, he multiplies. And because Abraham was willing to give Isaac as a sacrifice to God, when we're willing to give a sacrifice to God, God says, "Now I got something to work with." As we read in verses 9 and 10, we can plainly see that Abraham's motive, the entire time that he walked to the place, was worship. You see, our motive can never be, "Well, if I give according to the word, I'm going to get in return." No. Our motive must be worship. We must always have a heart of worship. I don't give so I get something back. I give because my giving honors God. My giving says to me, to my family, to my church family, God is more important than me. God wants to be king in every part of our lives. Oh, we make him king on Sunday. We maybe make him king on Tuesday. We go to Connect Group. By the way, my wife said, "Get in a Connect Group." Yes. We'll make him king of certain things. Oh, I want him to be king of my kids. I want him to be king of my workplace. But the checking account belongs to me. I want you to know that God already has what you need, where you need it, and when you need it. Just like Abraham. Abraham is about to slay his son as a sacrifice to God. And at the very time, the thing he needed was already caught in the weeds next to him, already caught by its horns. He didn't even have to go looking for the sacrifice. It was already right there. Many times we are waiting for God to provide the sacrifice so we can give the sacrifice. I want you to understand, God, that's not the way it works. We give the sacrifice and then God provides it. Why did Abraham get to experience God as Jehovah Jireh that day? And how do we experience him that way as well? I want to teach you four lessons today about Abraham's willingness to give God everything. And if we employ these four simple lessons in our life, I believe that we too will experience God as Jehovah Jireh. The first one is we must be willing to take the test. Verse 1 of chapter 22 says, sometime later, God tested Abraham. Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love. Go to the region of Moriah, sacrifice him there as a burnt offering. On a mountain I will show you. Notice God doesn't give Abraham an explanation or a reason why it should be done. So often we as people, well, God, I'd be glad to give. Can you tell me why? I don't understand. I want you to understand something. If God gave you all the answers to all the questions you have, you probably run the wrong direction. If 23 years ago, God had told me, 23 years from now, you're going to be a pastor of a church, I'd have been running the other direction because I was already running in the other direction. So often when we don't understand the things of God, we wait to respond to the test, waiting for an explanation. And God is not about, he's not about giving explanations. He's about giving directives. Here's a directive. Now go do it. And if you really begin to trust God and you know that he's a faithful God and he'll do what he says he'll do, you don't have to worry about the answer to the question. What if God told you to give away everything? I don't know what you have or what you don't have, but imagine today, whatever you have. You got $10,000 in the bank, you got $50,000, you got $3 million in the bank. And God says today, hey, so I want you to give it away. I don't think so. Not likely. Here's the question, what's your Isaac? What are you holding on to so tightly that you're not willing to give up? What has God asked you to give that you refuse to give? Has he asked you to begin to tithe and you just, I'm not doing that. I don't believe in that. Has he asked you to serve? You're like, I'm not really into that either. Too hot in that parking lot. Babies cry too much. There's a man, and this is a true story. Pastor Robert Morris, pastors Gateway Church in Dallas, Texas area, had a man in his church, very wealthy man. When I say very wealthy, I mean worth millions and millions of dollars. And one day he's sitting at his computer and he's totaling all of his accounts. And God speaks to him and says, how much you got there? And he gives him the number. And the number was in the millions of dollars. He said, I want you to give it all away. Now imagine that conversation. Oh, time out. Can you speak into my other ear? Oh, I didn't hear you right in this one. This one's clogged. This one ain't working good. I'm not sure I even understand that language. I mean, we would have all kinds of excuses as to why. And the guy just does it, gives it away. Exactly where God's told him to give it away. A year later, he's back at his computer and he's looking over his accounts again. And God speaks to him again and says, how much you got there? He's got to be thinking, right? When I heard the story, I was thinking, he's got to be thinking, oh, here we go again. He's going to ask me to give it all away again. And he says, God says, no, total it. What do you have? He goes, when he totaled it, what he had a year later was more than double what he'd had the year before. And he gave it all away. Because what we keep, we have. And what we give away, God multiplies. He was willing to take the test. Here's the question. Are you? Number two. If we're going to experience God as Jehovah Jireh, we must be willing to give God what he asked of us. God told Abraham, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, go to the region of Moriah, sacrifice him there. Look at verse 3. I love verse 3. Early the next morning. A conversation doesn't happen between verses 2 and 3. Only willful obedience to the will of God. Okay, God, I'll just do what you said. We don't see a conversation. We don't see an argument. We don't see a question. We see early the next morning, Abraham got up, loaded his donkey, took with him his two servants and his son Isaac. And when he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place. Notice Abraham didn't try to bargain with God. Hey, can I sacrifice one of my servants? I don't really even like those guys. Can I sacrifice one of my animals? I got plenty. You know, we don't see that conversation. It's just simply obedience to the will of God. And it says in verse 9, when they reached the place that God told him about, Abraham builds the altar there, arranges the wood, binds his son, and puts him on the altar on top of the wood. He gives to God exactly what God asked of him. God is asking some of us in here today that have never trusted him with something as simple as a tithe to just trust me. And I love what God says about the tithe. He says, this is the only area of the Bible you can test him in. See, we don't give because we feel like, well, this is my money. Check comes in my name. God, you don't have an account in this bank. Well, according to Psalm 24, verse 1, it says, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. That means everything you own too. I've said this before, and I think Kevin just said this. I'm glad he only asked me for 10%. But you know what? The times that God has asked me for more than 10%, you know what God always does? Provides me with more than 10%. So that I can give the 10%. When people begin to understand the idea and the concept of tithing, there's usually some negative connotation that comes along with it. Because let's face it, it does sound kind of crazy. You want me to give 10% of all that I make? Do you know how much I make? Listen. Usually it starts when, it's better if it starts when you're younger and you don't have much money. If you don't have much money and you're younger, then you can start to give, and the little bit that you're given don't seem to be that big of a deal. But all of a sudden you start making some money, and all of a sudden those checks get bigger and bigger. Let me tell you, I had a friend years ago, he started a business, and he was really struggling in the beginning of the business. And he came in my office one day, he said, man, you got to pray for me because I'm really struggling. He goes, I'm just barely scraping by. And I prophesied to him one day. I said, the Lord told me to tell you 6 months from now, you will look back and be amazed at what God did. Oh, man, I'm gonna believe that. 6 months later, he's back in my office. Pastor, you are right. He goes, I am so much farther along than I even dreamed of that I am thanking God. You know what he told me the first day he was in my office? I can't wait to write the check. Tell God you can't wait to write the check. God, I can't wait to write the check. You know what? He'll make sure you can write the check. We have reasons like this. The church doesn't need my money. What are they going to do with it? What if I don't like the programs that they're going to put it in? Or what if I don't agree with that? Abraham could have thought thoughts like that. He could have said, well, this is my son. What are you going to do with him? Well, God, I'm not sure I like that idea. I'm not sure that's a great idea. This is, by the way, God, this is the child of promise. And according to your word that you gave me, he's going to be the one my lineage is going to start through. And if I kill him, God, to see, this doesn't make sense. Maybe we need to do another way. We never see the conversation happen. We never see Abraham had that conversation. He simply trusts God. See, your promise of multiplication started with Isaac. And it was only because of his willingness to give Isaac that he was able to have all that he had ultimately. One of the things I love about the Lord so much is that he never does anything that's going to hurt us. God doesn't call us to do things that are going to hurt us. Now, we'll tell you this. If you love money more than you love Jesus, that check's going to hurt. Woo! Again, I'm not sure I can write that check. I gladly write that check. Because I'm more attached to Jesus than I am that money. That money means nothing. My wife said, I'll give it all away. And I live under a bridge because I don't really care. Boxes are good. See, when we learn to let go and let God have his way in our financial life, things always turn out better than expected. Say better. Better. How many of you want better? Yeah, better is better. If you want a financial blessing, you may have to do what at this moment may seem like nonsense, kind of goofy. Now, on the other side of that coin, if you've been blessed financially and you're doing pretty good, we got nothing to worry about. We in good shape. I even have margin at the end of my month. I got extra. See, sometimes when that happens, we think, I don't need the blessing of the tithe. I'm good. So we don't think that applies to us. But if you think God, you think life's good now. You think life's good now. You start to give of a tithe and watch how good life can really be. Somebody really ought to say amen right there, right? Look at Malachi chapter 3 says. Malachi chapter 3 verse 10. The prophet Malachi is prophesying to the children of Israel who had been withholding their tithes from the house of the Lord. This is what he says. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be enough room or room enough to store it. Listen, here in Malachi, God's telling us, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. Listen, if your giving does not equal a tithe, don't expect the blessing of the tithe. He didn't say bring the eighth, bring the fifth. He said bring the tenth. God is very specific in his word about the amount. Bring the tenth, bring the tithe into the storehouse. That's all he's asking for is the tithe. Bring the tithe into the storehouse, and then the blessing of 30, 60, and 100-fold is over your life. The tithe, the masrah in the Hebrew means the one-tenth part, the storehouse. It is said theologically that the storehouse is the house of God, is the church, and we're to bring the tithe to the storehouse. Many times people want to give the tithe to other organizations within our community that we have, oh, this is a good place for our money and stuff. And that's, it is wonderful to give to other places, and we as a church give to all sorts of organizations that help people within our community and throughout the world. But I want you to know, the promise of the tithe, the 30, 60, and 100-fold promise of the tithe only comes through the tithe. And he said, when you do that, he's going to open the floodgates, the aruba, the chimney or the window or the unobstructed opening from which blessings flow. I like the unobstructed opening. I don't want to provide speed bumps for God to bless me. I want to provide a clear path. And like he can go 90 to nothing in any time he wants. It's wide open, God. Bring it on. Because I have done what he asks of us to do, right? Be willing to give God what he asks of you and watch his blessings flow. Number three, if we want to experience God as Jehovah Jireh, we must be expectant. Be expectant. You know, Abraham walked with God with an expectant attitude. I believe Abraham's confidence of walking with God expectantly came from a life of trusting God, a life of saying over the years, I've watched God do good here, and I've watched God help me here, and I watched God answer my prayers here, and he answered them here, and he answered them there. And if you don't have those situations in your life, then look at somebody else's life who does have them and say, well, I watch you do it in his life. I watch you do it in her life, and so I'm going to trust you and do the same thing. And you know what? You'll find that God is faithful to his word, and he will do what his word says he'll do. A lot of blank stares today. When you completely trust God, all the things that you would freely give him, all the things he asks of you, because you expect God will do what he says he'll do. Listen, Genesis chapter 22, verse 12, he said, don't lay a hand on the boy. Don't do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you've not withheld from me your son, your only son. And Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket, of course, he saw the ram caught by the horns. He went over, took the ram, sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, the Lord will provide. And and to this day it is said, on the mountain of the Lord it will be provided. When we give God as God directs us to give, we can be assured to receive the blessing of his promises. Why? Because our obedience is directly tied to his promises by faith. His name is the Lord who is provision, Jehovah Jireh. And it says the Lord will provide. Doesn't say he might. Doesn't say he could. He would, maybe. I don't know. No, it says he will. Be expectant. Expect God will do what he says he'll do. And number four, last but not least, be a blessing. Genesis 22, 15 says, the angel of the Lord calls to Abraham from heaven a second time. And he says, I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have not because you have done this and you have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring, all nations of the earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. Listen, when you give unselfishly and generously, you'll be blessed and others will be blessed by you directly and indirectly. I want you to understand, you know, that every time you give to New Beginnings Church, you literally touch people around the world. Our little church right here in Covington, Louisiana, is touching missionaries and people around the world. The good news is going around the world because of the faithful giving of God's people at New Beginnings Church. When we give, we are releasing by faith the hand of Almighty God over our lives and subsequently the lives of others. When we make the step of faith to tithe or to give generously to the work of God, we are positioning ourselves for a financial breakthrough. Because of the actions of Abraham, the children of Israel, listen to me, are still blessed, a blessed people today. Go to New York. Go to South Florida. A lot of Jewish people there, very wealthy. Very wealthy. Go to the Diamond District in New York City, mostly owned by Jews. No offense to the Jews. I want you to understand, if every partner of New Beginnings Church just gave the tithe, just 10%, and we have people who give way more than that, but I want you to know, just the tithe, we'd never have to ask you for anything. As a matter of fact, you know, when we were doing this construction project, our finance team directors and so on said, hey, you know what? We're not going to ask people for anything. We already had, because of your faithful giving, we already had all the money to do everything we needed to do, and we didn't have to worry. We didn't have to worry about it. So we said, we're not going to bother you with asking you for this, but I want you to know this was cheap. But one day, when this project fills up and we have to do the next one, we will come asking. I mean, it is what it is, right? At New Beginnings, you're not just a member of the church, you're a partner. We partner in ministry to reach this world for Jesus, one soul at a time. Would you stand with me? Tithing is the only giving principle that has the abundant return tied to it. And Malachi says, God says, I'll open the floodgates of heaven. Now, let me remind you, the floodgates of heaven, the Aruba, is only used one other time in Scripture. And it's used when God shut Noah up in the ark. And it says he opened the floodgates to flood the earth. Now, that was a deal where that was a bad deal, right? And in that particular situation, there was so much water, the earth couldn't hold it all. And he's telling you the same thing. I'm going to open heaven, but it's going to be a positive thing in your life. And it's going to be so much blessing that your barns, your bank accounts won't hold it all. How many of you know your bank has a limit? How much they'll insure of your money? You're going to have to open multiple bank accounts because of all your money. Anybody up for that? Yeah, that's what I thought. So much blessing that you won't be able to contain it. So here's the lessons we learned from Abraham. Be willing to take the test. Anybody willing to take the test? Be willing to give God what he asks. Be expectant that God will do what he says. And then we do it to be a blessing. Those of you who are ready to experience God as Jehovah Jireh, the God who is provision, I want you to join me here at the altar. And I am going to pray a financial blessing breakthrough upon you and upon your family. And we're going to watch God be God in your life and in your situations. Here's what we're going to do today. You know, there's a posture that I believe kind of sets us up to receive from God. Here's the posture. We don't want to stand like this. You ain't receiving nothing like this. But like this, we're ready to receive. God, hands open to heaven, recognizing your place, Jesus, in our lives, that you are the giver of all things. So God, we stand here openly ready to receive from you because we have walked in obedience to your voice. And I pray for every man, woman, and child, young and old alike, God, that have trusted you with the tithe. I pray, God, for a pressed down, shaken together, running over blessing poured into their lives. And I do pray, God, that you would do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask, above all we think and all we imagine, according to your power that's already at work in us. We love you. We thank you for your faithfulness. And we give it all to you today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful Sunday. We'll see you next week.